Following with our theme this morning, the readings are from the beginning and end of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, and Revelation 22, verses 12 to 16. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star.
So can anybody guess what the theme is today? I love it when my sermon is preached for me before I start preaching. And I'm genuinely saying, I think I've just turned this off. There you go. I genuinely mean that because the sermon has been preached through the songs, through the prayers, and in the all-age slot as well. Can I borrow your A to Z? Thank you very much. I'm so glad that I decided not to use the illustration of the A to Z, because I was going to use the illustration of the A to Z. But very, very useful things. Always keep one in the car and don't rely on the sat nav. That's just a piece of advice that I give you for free. Has anybody ever seen this film, Memento? Anybody? Somebody has. Oh, yes, I've undone dead. Oh, yes. A couple of people, anyway. It's a very, very good film. I love this film. It's a Christopher Nolan film, and Christopher Nolan's well known for not telling stories in a chronological way. And it's the story of Leonard. It's Guy Pearce, Carrie Ann Moss, etc. And his wife has been murdered, and in the attack on his wife, he got injured. So he can't make new memories. The memories just fade. It's not amnesia, it's just he can't make any new memories. And he's trying to find the killer. And so he takes photographs, as you can see on there. He's taking Polaroid photographs. And he tattoos on his chest, on his arms, information. And the story is told backwards. It really is very difficult to watch. You've really got to work it out. Christopher Nolan makes you work in these films. So you don't know what's happening. You're sharing the confusion of Leonard. He doesn't know what's happened. And nor do you. Because the beginning of the film is the end of the story. And the end of the film is the beginning of the story. So you can watch it. You can watch it the right way round or forwards if you press a button on the DVD at the right point. But it's a very, very interesting movie to watch because you're constantly trying to say, well, what is going on? What is happening? Now, as I talk with people today, and you talk with anybody, have any conversation with people, and mostly people are confused. They do not know what is going on in the world. You know, what's the point of this stuff? Even the cleverest people like Stephen Hawking and Paul Davis, not me, the astrophysicist Paul Davis, who is a friend of Stephen Hawking's, and others, they don't know what's the point? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? You can have a map and still be lost. And most people don't even have a map. And certainly Leonard in the film doesn't know what's going on. Now, the verses we've got today are very interesting. I am the Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So Jesus, you know, if you wanted to translate it, you could say, I am the A and the Z. I am the beginning and the end. Omega, we see that O, don't we? Omega as the ohm. Does anybody, guys at school, come on. It's a measurement of resistance, isn't that right? The ohm. So we see that omega, the first and the last, the one who was and is to come. And it's found in Revelation 1 verse 8. It's sort of repeated in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Revelation 21 verse 6. Again, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And then finally, in chapter 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And I put the Greek for anybody who wants to delve in a bit further. Go to Bible Hub and do a bit of research on the words there. He is the first and the last. He is the overarching Lord of history. He is the beginning and the end. He's like the bookends. Now, I love books, so I've got lots of bookends because they fall off. Well, I've got the other thing, I've got big, thick books. So they serve as books and bookends. You save money at the same time having thick books. So it's like a bookend. It's the Lordship of Christ. He is the Lord of creation. We sing. But he's the Lord of history. He is the Lord of every moment. And this is the simple message, actually. It's not actually a very complex thing. Children can understand it probably better than we can as adults. They get it. It's very simple. He rules over every moment. Over creation, over history. And we know that creation and history are linked. And we'll look at that a bit later. I've got one GCSE. I have. No, I've got two GCSEs. I'm sorry, I've got two. One was in physics, so you get a bit of a physics lesson today because I know something about it. So he is the beginning. He is the Alpha. Here's the, and the Greek says arche, we get archaeology from that, the origin. So he's, and I wrote this down, I got halfway through writing this. He is the originator and he's the terminator. No, better not say that. But John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And then 1 John 1. You see how good God is when you get to John 1? And 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, that we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. He was there at the beginning. Paul agrees, Colossians 1, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, in things in heaven and things on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, all things have been created through him and for him. So he is the beginning, they were created by him, and he is the meaning, he is the purpose, he is the end. And that's the other meaning of the word end. You have an end, you have a purpose, you have a meaning. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the originator of life. Oh, sorry, I've just gone on. There's a nice picture of the Big Bang. I don't know who took it, but they've got to run very fast. Most people, and certainly atheistic scientists, live in this mechanical world of cause and effect. Things happen. You've got to have a cause to have... Sorry, you've got to have a cause in order to have an effect. We know, through people like Albert Einstein, that maybe it's not quite that simple. That once you get faster and faster to the speed of life, then the laws of physics all go and get drunk and start doing silly things. They all go very haywire. And when you get down to the micro level, And do you, anybody ever studied quantum mechanics? Nobody understands it. This isn't solid. These are made of superstrings, and they're all moving. Yes, Paul, you're right. That's where he, and when I say he, let's just have a capital H, he is working. Jesus Christ is there. So this is an encouragement. This is maybe not something that you're going to apply tomorrow morning at work, but it is something that will expand your mind. And it's an encouragement. Those original hearers of Revelation were suffering persecution under a horrible, horrible man called Domitian. And Domitian persecuted the church. What they needed to hear is their Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When we have confusion in our lives, when things aren't going right, when the world is all haywire, and you've got madmen, the lunatics have taken over the asylum, literally taken over the asylum. What do we need to know? We need to know that our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the person who we have been talking to intimately, he made everything. studying this, I'm going to really kind of freak out in a minute because this is unbelievable. This is absolutely so unbelievable, it's believable. Look at the stars. Here's my friend Brian Cox. Look at the stars. He actually said that. I'm not being nasty to him. He's the one who actually mimicked himself and said, look at the stars. He has wonder. He doesn't believe in God, but he has wonder in his voice and in his face. And so it is so right that he should have. Okay, you know I like fun facts, don't you? Here's a fun fact. Light travels at almost 300,000 kilometers per second. Something like most of the traffic going along the A15 does. That's sort of fast. So a light year, that means how long does light travel in 1 year? It travels that amount. 9.5 trillion kilometers. And our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. That's 42.75. It's very important, that 0.75, because that is actually a long way. A trillion kilometers away. That's a long way. Here's another fun fact. This is our solar system. I stopped at Mars because I couldn't remember what comes next. The solar system, that's all our planets which are doing dances around the sun. Okay, we're the third planet from the sun. That's a program. Yes, apparently, now this is a great estimate. I love this estimate. Between 1 billion, and 2 billion stars in our galaxy. That's the Milky Way. That's one heck of a lot of chocolate. That is, no, it's not, is it? 1 to 2 billion stars in our galaxy. Not our solar system, our galaxy. That means almost 1 to 200 billion suns in our galaxy. And there are probably 2 trillion galaxies the known universe. That's the bit we know about. So I'm going to step back from all that fun physics stuff and say, he made it. The person who we've just been talking to, who Lorraine led us in talking about the things that are concerning us and worrying, he made that. He was there. We read about it in Genesis. And he said, let there be light. And light came out of his mouth at 300,000 kilometers per second. He didn't create the sun. He created light, the concept. And I guess after that he made mass. And then because he had those two things, he could make gravity. And after that, he made velocity. He made it. This is our Lord Jesus Christ who we're talking about. Are we starting to get some perspective? Those are the facts, and that was that. That's what it does to me. It's just like, you just don't have anything left to say, really. You just stand in utter awe of that person, Jesus Christ. Just a couple of weeks' time, when we're all talking about baby Jesus, meek and mild, he made this. You better not upset the baby, because he made this universe. Now, those are facts, and I'm very visual, so I like visual stuff. That's the Milky Way. Wilma and I once, we were standing outside waiting for somebody in the dark in Argentina, and it was dark. It was completely dark. I'm enjoying the sky in Bourne, by the way, because down where we used to live, you can't see anything because there's Mordor's close by. And you just can't see it for the light of Mordor. London, that is. I love London. That's the Milky Way. And we saw it, didn't we? Do you remember seeing? And you stand there, and I feel slightly sick at this point, because you kind of go, ha, 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 ha. It's a wonder. He made it. He made it with a word. Here's the Horsehead Nebula. The Horsehead Nebula is 1,500 light years away from Earth. That's a long way. So what we're looking at happened a long time ago. It might not be there for all we know now, because the light's getting to us that started 1,500 years ago. And that's the Horsehead Nebula. He made it. He designed it. It is beautiful. And this is the Helix Nebula that gets called the Eye of God. And that is a mere 700 light years away. And he made it. He designed. He threw the stars into space, in rather a poetic way of putting it. He made all these wonderful things. Okay, let's get back to perspective. I found this, which I like. You can see it. Good. Third rock from the sun. There we are. In comparison to the sun. Sort of big, isn't it? The sun. No wonder I get burned if I stand outside too long on a summer's day. It's huge in comparison to us. But it's not very big. Because that, Aldebaran, is that's in the night sky. It's in the constellation of Taurus. And it's called the follower. That's Arabic for follower, because it seems to follow Pleiades around the night sky. It's incredible. You can see it during the winter. And it's very bright. Not surprising when it's that times bigger than the sun. But that is not the biggest red giant that we know of. The biggest red giant we know of is 2,000 times bigger than the sun. And it's called YV Canis Major, which means big dog. Sounds more like a DJ, doesn't it? What's his name? Governor B. No, we've got YV Big Dog. And that's the biggest. That's the biggest one we know. Okay, this just perspective again. Our Lord, who we can talk to now, if I really want to pray, he made it. All of that. This is a wonderful picture taken by Apollo 10 in 1968. It's called Earthrise. And there it is. There's us. Isn't it a beautiful planet? Isn't it lovely? Our planet Earth, our home, the place that God made for us. And Carl Sagan, who was an astrophysicist, or an astronomer, sorry, when Voyager 1 was leaving our solar system, it's just past Pluto, he asked NASA for them to turn it round and to take a series of pictures. And that's the picture that Voyager 1 took. Now, can you see us? Okay, wave. There it is, the pale blue dot. Can anyone see that? I've got a pointer here. Have I? No, that's not it. That's it. Hey, there we are. The pale blue dot. And Carl Sagan says, we succeeded in taking that picture, and if you look at it, you see a dot. That's here, that's home, that's us. On it, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever lived out their lives, the aggregate of all of our joys and sufferings, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter, forager, hero, coward, every creator, destroyer of civilizations, every king, peasant, every young couple in love, every hopeful child, every mother, father, every inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, corrupt politician, superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived on there, a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. It's a lonely speck in the universe. And when I look at that, you've got a couple of reactions you can have, can't you, really? Do you feel small? Tiny? Insignificant? He called it a mote of dust, a speck of dust, a nothingness. But do you know the Creator? And that's the thing. That's the big thing about what we believe. That God, who made all that, became a human being. The God who made all that we can know in Jesus Christ. A couple of Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. Now, if this universe that I've just been describing is only for us, don't worry, I'm not going to propose they're aliens. If it's only for us, I would say it's a little bit too big. In fact, it's way too big just for us. But if its function is to declare the glory of the Lord, then it's probably just a bit too small. Because he is great. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Another psalm, Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is humankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? And his greatness is shown in the fact that this massive creator who created this massive, probably, I don't believe that the universe is infinite, but it's as near as infinite as makes no matter whatsoever. He made all this, yet he cares for us. And he is our Lord, the Alpha and the Omega. He keeps everything in place. From the mountains to the smallest child, he keeps us in existence every moment. We don't live in a mechanical universe of cause and effect, like Newton said. We live in a universe where our God and our Lord is intimately involved. And that should be something that on Monday morning is good news. That we have this God. We are not just little insignificant motes of dust in the universe that don't matter to anybody. We are children of the Almighty God. We know the one who made all that universe, that creation. And I got an O level, no, sorry, that's really old, GCSE in physics. And I did some research on the internet about this universe. I know nothing about it. I did read a brief history of nearly everything. Bryson. And I did a brief history of time as well. But I know little or nothing about it. But this is our Lord and Creator who loves us. So what is the purpose of our existence? He is the purpose of our existence. Everything was made by him and for him. If you do not know what your purpose is in life, it is to glorify that person who made the world, and we've been singing about, who hung on a cross between heaven and earth for us. What's my part in that purpose? Glorify him. To live lives that point to him in our words and in our deeds. And we really have got to ask that question. How can I work out this? That's my job. No, that's my job for me. It's not my job for you. That's your job for you. Is to work out, well, how do I glorify this immense creator and saviour today in my life, in the contacts with the people who I have? So this is the end. So what? The creator of the 2 trillion, I'm underestimating, 2 trillion galaxies, cares for you. And we can worship him, and we should worship him, because he is great. His greatness is demonstrated in the universe, but his greatness is demonstrated also that he loves us. Christ is the meaning of history. That's put in a bit of a theological way, but it basically means he makes sense of the world. He makes sense of my world. And the I Am series, which is finishing here, is to give us that perspective. And every time people have preached on the different I Ams, we've come back to, it's about him. It's all about him. It's not about anything else or anyone else. It's not a clever ideology, philosophy, even a theology. It's all about Christ. He is the meaning of history. And he is in control even when it doesn't seem like it. He is in control. And we can trust him. And we should worship him. Let's pray. Father God, creator of the universe, of all the stars and the planets and the constellations, we want to worship you. We thank you that you have revealed yourself in the stars, in the planets. Lord, they have no control over our lives, but you have control over theirs. And we thank you for that. We praise and we worship you. Our minds cannot conceive of how majestic and wonderful you are. We want to worship you and thank you. We thank you that you give us purpose. You reveal to us the meaning of history, of our lives, of the life of the universe. And we thank you that you are in control. Help us, Lord, to have that perspective when we feel that the world is out of control or our lives are out of control. Give us that perspective that you are there. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.